Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, welcome to the NXT Podcast. My name is Zachary Smith. I am your host, as always, currently sitting with my wife and being attacked by a puppy at the same time while doing a podcast. Don't ever let anybody tell you that I am not fantastically multi-talented. We're talking about NXT this week. Vengeance Day happened on Sunday. We have fallout from that. Listen, I'm going to level with you. Is this a particularly good episode? No. No, it's not. Am I still going to, boy, do my best with it? I sure am. These are some, listen, is it more fun to talk about good shows? Yeah, probably. But I have some experience with talking about bad shows. Now, kids, that's what we in the business call a transition and a segue. Because I am also, in addition to being the host of the NXT Review here, that doesn't change, I am now the host of my very own podcast, Random Wrestling. It's really simple. Take all the pay-per-views, take a random number generator, and I have to talk about that pay-per-view for that week. Now, I unfortunately was tasked with talking about Hell in a Cell from 2019. You'll remember that as being a largely pretty good show until maybe the worst main event that the WWE has ever put on, and I do not say that lightly because, boy, they've had some stinkers. But if you want to hear me bemoan one of the worst matches I've ever had to watch for you people, or hear me try and fix it, you can do that at Random Wrestling. You can search it on your favorite podcast player. It's up everywhere. iTunes, Spotify, everywhere you get your podcast. Please go over there and subscribe to Random Wrestling. One last plug. You can always find me on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. We're always talking about wrestling, other fun things over there. You can also get a heads up when this comes out and when Random Wrestling comes out. Now, talk about the news and the notes from the week, so on so forth. Listen, you know about the WWE social media thing. I know about the WWE social media thing. If you don't know about the WWE social media thing, you'll recall that if you're a WWE superstar, living your lifelong dream in this incredible company where your dreams can come true, not allowed to have a Twitch channel, you idiot. You can't make money because we made you famous and we should get all that money so we can contractually obligate you to do it, but you can't do it yourself and make money. Can't do that. Now, they didn't say anything about like Twitter or Instagram, but can you take a picture in front of a restaurant and promote it and make money? No, you cannot. And I know what you're thinking, but Zach, those are WWE wrestlers. WWE made their name. Sure, sure. They can also do it if your Twitter and Instagram aren't under your real name. So this implies not only does WWE own your name, they own your likeness, they own your face, they own what you look like, even if you're in street clothes and not in your underwear in a wrestling ring like you're supposed to be properly. So is it bad? I mean, yeah, man, it's bad. Is it as bad as firing people during a pandemic when you're having your most profitable year ever? I mean, no, because that's evil, but this isn't great either. So just quickly, we're going to recap. You come to the WWE. It's your lifelong dream. Yay, WWE, I'm here. You go to NXT. You have to go through tumble drills and learn to wrestle again, because if you haven't been in WWE, your wrestling experience doesn't count, right? They always go on about how, oh, they got to learn the WWE style. That's like a head coach saying that all my players have to run my plays and I'm not going to change them. Good coaches like adapt to player strength and weaknesses. WWE, everybody learns this style, and that's part of the reason everybody is about the same. In addition to that, if on your off days you want to play some video games with some friends online and stream it on Twitch, nope, can't do that. Don't ever think that you can do that. I don't care if it's fun. I don't care if it's some extra money. I don't care if we didn't know about it until like a month ago because we didn't care. And then we found out and Vince is an old senile man and got mad about it because he probably doesn't understand it. You ever tried to explain how an iPhone works to like your grandfather and he just gets frustrated and says, I can't do it. And he goes and gets like a Nokia. That's Vince. And so you can't do that. And you say, fine. All right, cool. So I'm just going to post on Cameo and donate it to charity. Nope, that's not what we do here. Don't you ever think that you could donate to charity. That's not what we do. We work with Susan G. Coleman. We ignore all of the problems with that organization. You wear pink once. We have you take a picture with a sick kid, and then we brag about it for a year. That's what the WWE family is all about. Okay, fine, still living my dream. Maybe I'll just take a picture in front of my friend's cool new restaurant that I want to promote. Nope, can't do it. Don't you ever think you can help your friends or make money for yourself outside of here. This is WWE. We're a family, and you don't get to make money anywhere else. I will remind you, this is the same company where all your dreams can come true, and you can main event WrestleMania. I mean, not really, because that's Roman Reigns. But you can be one spot down from there. I mean, not really, that's Drew McIntyre and Edge. But you can go against the best in the world, and you can, but like if you're Keith Lee, you're never going to get like a decisive finish. You're never really going to get over, and they're going to blame you and send you back to wrestling school, basically. But you get to work with the best in the world. And yes, that is true, except in the many, many cases, it's not. For every AJ Styles or Adam Cole or Finn Balor that comes along, there are a million EC3s where Vince just doesn't get it. And instead of trying to get it, they will say that you weren't 100% behind our terrible creative ideas, and that's why it didn't work. Or you didn't have a good personality, and that's why it didn't work. Or you just didn't mesh, or the writers have nothing for you. We have enough money, the most we've ever made, despite some of the worst creative we've ever had, to have all of the writers Hollywood has ever had. None of those writers have anything for you. So needless to say, it's a great time to work in the WWE. I'll remind you that AEW Wrestling also takes place on Wednesday. And listen, I know that WWE is the big bad wolf, and for a long time they were the only game in town, and they were very happy about that and very much wanted to stay that way. You keep treating your superstars like dogs locked in a cage, and eventually those dogs are going to run away to a home that's going to love them. So you can keep it up and you can get away with it for a really long time. Just ask Vince McMahon. But eventually, that business practice, you know, evil, is going to come back on you. So that's the news and notes. Light stuff to start the podcast. We have a recap of Vengeance Day that happened on Sunday. Very good wrestling show where not a ton happened. No title changes, anything like that. Nothing happened except for the end of the main event with Adam Cole superkicking Finn Balor, also superkicking Kyle O'Reilly. Bobby Fish, not around as always. Maybe he'll show up this week. Who knows? Spoiler alert, that's the third note in the podcast notes. This is Future Zach. He didn't show up. The announcers are in person this week, and Beth Phoenix is interrupted by Kyle O'Reilly coming out to the ring to start us off. He said, "You all saw what happened Sunday at TakeOver. I keep replaying the moment over and over in my head to try and make sense of it, but I can't. I'm shocked. I'm confused. I'm pissed off. I'm disappointed. We were supposed to be unlike any other group that has come along in this business, and you ruined it for all of us. It's hard, side note, to take him super seriously because he has a faux hawk. And I didn't think that was going to be as big of a barrier to me taking him seriously as it is, but now we are on this side of the fence together, and I'm trying to be vulnerable and honest and let you know that I apparently cannot take a man with a faux hawk seriously, and that is going to temper everything I say after this. He says Cole is still his brother, and he's given him the benefit of the doubt. He says, I need you to come out here and explain yourself. When you're done, I'm probably going to punch you in the face, but I'm willing to listen. I wouldn't have come out if you tell me you're going to punch me in the face. Adam Cole follows that same logic and does not come out. So what actually happens is the Undisputed Era music hits, but it's Roderick Strong. He says, the Undisputed Era is very special. He said, I know that Sunday Adam did that based solely off of emotion, and I know right now in this moment, Adam regrets it. O'Reilly cuts him off. He says, I don't want to hear it from you. I want to hear it from him. Strong starts to get in the ring talking to Kyle. Kyle says, I'm warning you now. Don't get in this ring. He says, it's not that I don't trust you. He says, actually, it is that I don't trust you. But I want to hear it from him. And then we hear Finn Balor's music. The thing about Finn Balor's music is it's not Adam Cole's music. These are the kind of facts you come to this podcast for. Kyle says, I'm not looking for you, Finn. Finn says, you're not looking for me. He says, well, if you want to talk to Adam Cole, you get in line behind me. As far as I am concerned, you and I have some business to address, because on Sunday you offered me a hand, I accepted it, and we all saw what happened. So, Roderick Strong gets in Finn's face, he's basically saying that they had nothing to do with that, and then the tag champs Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch come out with Pete Dunne to attack them. Again, don't mean to hammer this point home, but feel it so it is necessary. This group is not as good without Pat McAfee, which is a weird sentence because Pat McAfee used to be a punter for the Colts. But this group is not special without him. Pete Dunne is a special performer. They need a mouthpiece, and Pat McAfee was by far the best one in NXT. And also, Pete Dunne couldn't beat Finn Balor, so now I don't necessarily know what the point is here. I mean, Pete Dunne's a sore loser. I suppose that makes sense. It's just, it's always weird when someone loses and then they want to try and continue a feud by having the person that lost attack the person that won. But that's, you know, whatever. So we have our Adam Cole thing unresolved for now. Regal's on screen. He says that he got a message earlier from Santos Escobar. Santos Escobar says that he knows that Regal wanted him to fight Karrion Kross tonight, but he says, no one threatens me. So what I'm going to do in regards to Karrion Kross is go home. He said, this match is not happening when you want, but when I want. Comes back to Regal, who frankly says that the match is happening next week. And if I'm not mistaken, Regal said that if it doesn't, or as a consequence, Santos Escobar, that is still his name, it's bad, will be suspended and the title vacated. So Karrion Kross, Santos Escobar is not going to be for the Cruiserweight title, but seems like we're heading toward that title being vacated if shenanigans continue, or it already happened. Not 100%. But that match, Karrion Kross, Escobar, next week, and Escobar's going to die. Also, it's going to be the tag team champions, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, versus Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly in the main event. That is where we will see Adam Cole, presumably. I say that like I don't know. I guess I'm building intrigue for you, even though you have also probably seen it. Johnny Gargano, our North American champion, is out with Candice LeRae and indie wrestling. He has pictures of the missing Austin Theory, who has been missing since Sunday when Dexter Lumis kidnapped him backstage. That's one of those things that it's really hard to explain to somebody who's not a wrestling fan, or really somebody that is a wrestling fan, as I think about it. Their opponents are Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. It feels like we just did this match, because indeed we did. If this seems familiar, it's because this was a match that happened. This was two teams in the tournament, so I don't know what we're doing. But later in the match, nothing really happening. You're not missing much. Johnny's distracted by a white van outside. He goes and is searching the van as the match is going on. So we are in the match still. It's worked very much like a match that they know nobody is paying attention to, because nobody is. Because now we're cutting away from the match. So we cut back to the entrance ramp, and Johnny has indeed found Austin Theory, who has, I think, tape or rope around his legs and arms, and he's very excited to be back. Candace gets out of the ring and runs up to him. Indy is distracted. She turns around, rolled up by Ember Moon, so Ember Moon wins for her team. So they didn't win in the tournament, but they won this week. I don't know why. The way the Gargano family don't really care at all. They're just excited that Austin Theory's back. So they know it doesn't matter, just like I know it doesn't matter, just like I know this match didn't matter. But what does matter is that Pat McAfee shoots a promo from a plane. He's basically cutting a promo on Adam Cole being a jerk and the internet wrestling community not seeing him for who he was, because they were just so excited to talk about him. And he said that he's always said that he's a jerk. And now you can all admit that I'm right. He's pushing a hashtag Pat was right hashtag, and then says he's off to the beach to have some drinks while you stay inside. I will say that's probably not a good idea. It is a pandemic. Please don't go out to the beach and drink at all. Good bad guy move, but you know, you getting sick and coming to the hospital, not ideal. So don't, just occurred to me, don't do that. But it's really good to see Pat back. I have no idea why he was gone, but he appears to be back. I don't know when he'll actually be back in the Capitol Wrestling Center, but he's still working with the company, so that's good. I was confused as to whether he had gotten fired or if he had some other commitments or why they weren't working together anymore. But apparently everything's good now. So I'm excited next week, hopefully, to see him returning. Because this group is not doing great without him. Cut back to the ring. Caden Carter, Case Catanzaro, making their entrance. They are facing Aaliyah. And I'm going to guess that's Jesse Kamea. I don't know. You don't care. So here we are. Robert Stone is their manager once again. Again, Robert Stone, very talented, should be on the show more. He could be funny, or he could be serious. He could be a good manager to just about anybody. They have him just managing Aaliyah, and I'm going to guess that's Jesse Kamea, and not really doing anything and not really talking. So you're not really getting anything out of it. You're just kind of having him show up. So, I mean, not the best used ever of him, but here we are. Caden Carter, Casey get the win, but Xia Li comes out after their dust-up last week. So Caden is going to go out to confront Xia Li, but Casey stops her, and Casey basically says, "We just care about you. We were just trying to help." And goes on and on, saying, "We care about you." She's not a supernatural talker, but that's fine. And Xia Li grabs Casey's hand. She won't let it go. And then she... This is the kind of thing where this is my favorite stuff in wrestling. The stuff that's hard to explain to non-wrestling fans. Because it doesn't make any sense. But now I'm now realizing that I'm having trouble explaining it to you, presumably a wrestling fan. I'm just going to say the word. Xia Li puts her fingers on the back of Casey's hand and leaves two black marks across Casey's hand. Why does she do that? You know I don't know, and neither do you. but that's what she did, and I tell you what happened on NXT, and that's what happened. A person drew two lines on another person, and it was supposed to be scary. And the fun thing about wrestling is that it doesn't make any sense at all, but it was intimidating, because I don't know what that means. Never seen that technique employed. Don't think that was a Sun Tzu thing. Think that's a thing she made up. Think that's probably a weird thing to do. If somebody wants to square up with you in real life, you can't draw on them and be like, yo, next week. But here it happened, and audibly I went, ooh. And then I thought about it, and I was like, don't do that. This is ridiculous. Xia Li says, next week I will hurt you. Fair enough. So I guess she marked her. Why did you mark a person whose face you already know and isn't going to be hard to find because she's going to be in the same place next week? Again, you know I don't know that, but that's what she did, and I'm telling you it through the microphone in your headphones that that's what happened, and that's it. And so next week, I guess, Xia Li, Kaze Catanzaro, Xia Li is going to kick Kaze Catanzaro's head into those video board fans. That's going to be bad for her. And then probably Sub-Zero in a chair is going to be at ringside and is going to want her to continue that attack. It's occurring to me now how insane all of this sounds as I say it out loud. It made sense in my head when I watched it, and now I'm realizing that it's not something that's normal or can be rationalized, but here we are together as a wrestling family enjoying crazy stuff. We have a recap of the Dusty Classic on the men's side and the women's side. Beth Phoenix is in the ring with the big, big ass trophy, and she welcomes first MSK to the ring. MSK so far undefeated here in NXT. Good way to debut a tag team. Or really, good way to debut anybody. Imagine that. You have them come out and win decisively, and then people start taking them more seriously. Imagine that. Beth Phoenix also welcomes Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. Dakota Kai and Raquel are interrupted by my least favorite wrestler, Nia Jax, and a wrestler that I like, Shayna Baszler. They're going, these two teams face-to-face, because in 2 weeks they'll be fighting each other for those tag titles, and they're kind of having a promo off at each other. It wasn't until the middle of it that I realized that MSK and Beth Phoenix are still in the ring. They are all in the corner, and they are eating popcorn, and I don't know where they got the popcorn, but that was fantastic that they were just wide-eyed eating popcorn this whole time. So, like I said, in 2 weeks, Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, as an effect of winning the Dusty Classic, get a women's title tag title match against Baszler and Nia Jax. Dakota Kai and Raquel should win that match because Shayna and Nia Jax aren't particularly doing anything at the moment, and I'd love to get Shayna away from Nia. Now, I do my best to kind of cover everything that goes on during the show. And just again, in a moment of honesty with you, just me and you here, Nia Jax started talking, and I'm going to be honest, I skipped the hell out of it. Couple problems. Nia Jax is bad at promos. Nia Jax is also bad at wrestling. And when I say bad at wrestling, I mean that she has a few moves, and she doesn't do any of them particularly well, and also she's people have been injured in the ring fighting her. And if you recall, the whole point of wrestling is for it to look like it hurts, but not really hurt. If you're out there legitimately hurting people, you're a bad wrestler. And Nia Jax had an injury of some kind. It was off for a long time and has had breaks in her career before and does not seem particularly interested in becoming a better promo. That's fine. Not everybody's a natural promo. She's also not interested in improving in the ring, i.e. adding more moves or just making the one she already does look half decent. She's also not interested in not, you know, whipping people full force into stuff when half force would have done perfectly. And injured Kairi Sane, I think, more than once, and just has this history of moves that look very bad. And look, is she getting some undue flack for that because people think she's unsafe, so every move that somebody else would get away with, she's not? Yeah, she is. Has she also earned it? Boy, oh boy, has she. Because the problem I have is not so much that you came in unsafe. You were raw. You were unseasoned. Fine, I get it. Now, you've been on the main roster for a long time. You've had a lot of different feuds. You've been a women's champion before. And you've shown no interest or no capacity to improve in this area. And I would argue that before promos, before in-ring, before being convincing, before being a good character, before having it, you have to have the ability to not hurt somebody in just about every other match that you have. And if you don't have that basic ability, then you either need to go back to training or you need to improve yourself. Edge got sent a ring by the WWE when he was coming back. Have them send you one. Or you need to not be a wrestler and you need to go find a different job, because this is already dangerous enough without somebody not particularly caring about their opponents. That is all to say, Nia Jax started talking and I skipped the holy hell out of it. I think she was about to talk about Dusty and working with him, and that's very sweet. My favorite thing about Dusty Rhodes is that he very rarely hurt people and was a good promo. Okay, so, great. Mm-hmm. So, we cut back to pictures where Io Shirai is taking photos, having successfully retained her title at Vengeance Day, and Toni Storm, I guess, came in and kicked her in the head and laid her out, because similarly, Toni Storm is mad she lost, and I guess they're going to run this feud back without Mercedes Martinez, I'm not sure. Also, we have a short promo from Eli Drake, who's now in NXT. His name is LA Knight, which objectively is a very bad name, but Eli Drake is great, and I think he's going to do well, but I also thought EC3 was going to do well, so EC3 was also a big Jack guy who was good and was a good promo, and Eli Drake in NXT, probably going to do really well. Eli Drake on the main roster, no idea whatsoever. Can't stress this enough. LA Knight, really bad name though. Don't know why he's not Eli Drake. Probably doesn't want WWE to own that name. I get it, guy. I get it. But I'm excited that he's here. He was with the NWA for a long time, and then they just haven't been running shows, and I don't know what's going to happen with them. So he's just in NXT. We have our main event of Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, our tag team champions. Easy to forget because they rarely defend them, against Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor. They're having a pretty good match. And then the obvious happens where Adam Cole comes out and he attacks Kyle O'Reilly rather viciously. And then as a result of that, Pete Dunne is able to pin Finn Balor. So it seems as though we are maybe preparing to run back Pete Dunne, Finn Balor, with now a pinfall victory over him. And then Finn is shakily getting up from that attack, and then Adam Cole super kicks Finn Balor. Again, that's now twice in a week, which is rude. I'll give you, it's rude. And then Adam Cole picks up the NXT title, smiles into the camera, and raises it above his head. So we didn't get an explanation from Adam Cole, and we didn't see Adam Cole until the very end of the show, and he attacked Kyle O'Reilly again, so we're not going back on that, and he attacked the NXT champion. Presumably, I can't speak for him, and I don't know what he's going to say, but presumably a little bit sick of having to take a back seat. He had to watch Kyle O'Reilly challenge for the title twice. He was watching Pete Dunne challenge for the title when he probably felt like he deserved it. And he decided he was done being this nice dude that was just supportive of his teammates. I would rather blow this up than not be the NXT champion. That's good. Makes Adam Cole a vicious heel or bad guy. It kind of dissolves the Undisputed Era a bit. And it puts Adam Cole back to being a bad guy, which he's very similar to Kevin Owens. He's much better and more natural as a bad guy. So I'm excited to see kind of what comes of that. But I've done my best to let you know what happened this week. There's some interesting things going forward. I think next week we will have a much better show as we have a clearer picture. In the meantime, you can listen to this podcast. You can also listen to the new podcast, Random Wrestling. Hell in a Cell 2019 is up right now on wherever you're listening to this. You can always find me on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT, ZachNXT. Let me know what you thought of the show. Let me know what you think is going to happen next week. In the meantime, I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic, and thank you for listening.